Additional notes are going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1167, if you want to use one of the Bibles in front of you. Larry Crabb is a Christian writer, counselor. God's used him in many effective ways over the years, but when he was a teenager in his local church, he was invited one day to participate in communion with the older men. And there was kind of an expectation put on him to pray during that time period, so he decided to go ahead and give it a shot. He said he prayed a theological prayer that was totally out of balance. He said, I thank the Father for hanging on the cross and praising Christ for triumphantly bringing the Spirit from the dead. He said, I was really confused. He said, afterwards, I vowed at that point in time I would never, ever speak in public again. After the service was over, he said, I wanted to get out as quick as I could because I was afraid one of the elders of the church would catch me and try to correct my theology. So he said, I tried to sneak out, but a man named Jim Dunbar caught me before I got out. He said, I prepared myself for the worst. But he said, instead of being corrected, Jim Dunbar said to him, he said, listen, Larry, I want you to know that whatever you do for the Lord, I am behind you 1,000%. He said, those words were life to him. The Bible says in Proverbs, the tongue has the power of life and death. You give life to what you say, you can kill by what you say. When I was a kid, we used to have a phrase saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. That really wasn't true. And vitally important are the words that a child hears from his or her father. Some of you sit here today with father wounds or an absent father. Others here have had the benefit of a dad who's going to do what we talk about today, and you need to thank God for him. There's a verse in Ephesians that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He doesn't get specific on what actually exasperates children, but be assured, not hearing words you need to hear and hearing words you shouldn't have to hear exasperate children. I read about a father who could not affirm. He coached his baseball team in Lake Wobegon. It was called the Lake Wobegon Schroeders because all nine boys on the team that started were his sons. He could not affirm. So if a kid hit a bad pitch, he'd cuss and swear and spit and yell at him. He said if he hit a home run, he'd say, well, anybody could hit that. Grandma could hit that one over the fence. His oldest son one time during a game was playing center field. It hit a long fly. He was going to go out of the park. He threw his glove up in the air, 40 feet up, caught the ball. The glove and ball fell back down into his hand, and the guy was called out. He said when he turned and looked at the dugout, his dad was applauding, but as soon as dad saw he was looking, he made it look like he was swatting mosquitoes instead. So when he finally came into the dugout, here's what his dad said. He said, I saw a man in Superior, Wisconsin do that a long time ago, but he did it at night, and the ball was actually hit even harder. He could not affirm. Maybe you grew up with that kind of dad. See, if you're a perfectionist dad, you have a hard time affirming. That's what he experienced. So I want to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's not a parenting context. The context is very simply this. The Apostle Paul had started a church in the city of Thessalonica. After he left, people came in and they tried to discredit Paul. So he writes this letter back to sort of remind them of the ministry he had while he was there. And the ministry he had while he was there, he compares to parents. First, he says, we were like a gentle, caring mother with you, which the high-D-driven Paul does not come across as that kind of guy. But he says, verse 6, he says, we were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. Verse 7 says, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Then in verse 10, he switches from the mother illustration to a father illustration. Verse 10, he says this, you are witnesses and so is God, how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know, verse 11, that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Verse 12, he lists three ways, in his perception, a father should treat his children. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. He says, Paul wasn't a father, but his observation about fathers was that dads use their words to encourage, to comfort, and to urge their children on. So I want to look at each one very briefly. He said, I've dealt with you as a father deals with his own children. The first word he uses there is encourage. Most of you realize the New Testament was written in the language of Greek. The word he uses here is a word called parakaleo. Para, like paramedic, someone who comes alongside. Kaleo means to call alongside. It's used 105 times in the New Testament. Paul uses it 53 times himself. It means to encourage or to build up or to urge on. Paul says, you remember when we were there, we treated you like a father treats his kids. And one of the things dads need to do with their kids is encourage them, urge them on. In chapter 3, he says, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you because Paul couldn't go. When Timothy came back and told him what was going on there, Paul was encouraged. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he says, based upon all the things that God has done for you, I'm urging you, same word he uses, encourage. In chapter 5, because certain people in Thessalonica had died from the persecution, he says in chapter 5, verse 11, encourage and build up one another. Again, words give life and words can give death. And as a dad, you have the opportunity to build up your kids. That doesn't mean you don't speak truth. It doesn't mean you don't discipline. We talked a number of times about love languages. There are 5 basic love languages. One of the love languages is words of affirmation. A person feels love when they get words of affirmation from people significant in their life. And he says here, we encouraged you. Encouraging, just like a father encourages his children. John Eldridge wrote a book a number of years ago, a little book, in about 40 pages. And in it, he raises the 2 most important questions a dad needs to answer for his children. For sons, the question every son is asking, and only dad can really answer that question, is, do I have what it takes to be a man? Every son wants to hear that. The question every daughter asks is, am I lovely? And again, the dad is positioned uniquely to answer that question. John Poe is preaching this message in Juniata today. And between the services, he told me an illustration he was going to use today in Juniata. He said, this past week, a little girl from our church, I think she's 2 or 3 years old, was looking in a mirror. And she says to her dad, am I beautiful? He said, yes. And she said, well, then tell me so. That's what a daughter wants to hear. We have a friend, used to attend the church here years ago and then moved away, shared a testimony one time about her family. She said her parents were very strict. Her dad especially had really not many words of kindness for her. So she said she strived to do better. She pushed herself even more and more. She graduated top in her class from business school. Day of the graduation, her parents came and her boss came. And after the service was over and she received her awards, the boss said to the parents, you must really be proud of your daughter. Dad's response was, I don't even know who she is. Paul said to the Thessalonians, as a father with his children, encouraging is the first word. Second one is comforting. It takes another Greek word and adds the word para on the front, paramutheo. It's only used 4 times in the New Testament, but it's used twice in 1 chapter in John chapter 11. If you recall in John chapter 11, Lazarus had passed away. His sisters were grieving. Jesus and the disciples went there to be there. And it says certain Jewish people had come to comfort them. That's the word he uses here, to comfort them. Your kids are going to need comforting at different times in their lives. Thessalonians have experienced loss. Your children will also experience loss. Some children have lost a grandparent. Some children have lost a pet. Some children failed a class. Some children failed a year. When I was in 8th grade, my grandfather was sick. He had worked at the railroad in Juniata for years. It was my assignment to help him, give him supper, get him into bed each night. The first time I was ever in a funeral home. Mark and Yates and Junie Adam. I've been there way too many times since that time, but for then it was the first time. Grieving. Kids need parents who come alongside, need dads who come alongside and comfort them. You listen to testimonies today, more and more children today are dealing with divorce. A lot of times they don't get comforted during that whole process of divorce. There's over 62 million dads in North America. 25 million people live in homes where dad's not there. 72% of people in North America agree that the most challenging social issue we have in our culture right now is fatherlessness. And that's not something they fabricated. The statistics are there to prove that. Kids in fatherless homes struggle much more academically with poverty, alcohol abuse, than kids in homes with mom and dad. God knew what he was doing when he planned the family the way he planned it. Kids are going to need comforted at times. This week I worked with some 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys in VBS with a couple other guys. One night I noticed the boy had his baseball uniform on. He was there for the first half of the thing, then he went to the ball game. So the next day when he came in, I said, how'd your ball team do last night? He said, well, we won 18-1. I said, oh, I feel bad for that other team. He said, they have not won a game all year. So imagine, week after week, night after night, kid comes, hey, how'd it go today? Oh, we only lost 12-1 tonight, Dad. Jack Canfield was driving home from work one day. He stopped at Little League Field just to watch his game for a while. He sat down on the bench behind the players on the one side. He asked one of the boys what the score was. The boy turned around, he had a smile on his face. He says, we're down 14-0. He says, well, you don't seem very discouraged. 14-0. He said, no, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even got up the bat yet. Over the years, your kids will need some encouragement. The verse in Proverbs says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Healing. Cheryl Miller in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, 1995. When she was receiving that award, she reflected back on a time when, at 13 years old, she tried out for the boys' team. The coach said, if you can beat my son on a 1-on-1 game to 11, you're on the team. She beat him 11-1. She said to the coach, when do I start? He said, you will never, ever play in this team. He said, the only court I will see you in is a court of law. So she said she cried all the way home. Her dad stepped up and comforted her. Not only did he comfort her, he did the next thing here. He urged her. And so that was one of the things that spurred her on to become as good as she was. The third word he uses here is the word, NIV translates it, urging. It's actually the Greek word martyreo, which means to bear witness to something. Twice in here he already uses it. In chapter 2 he says, you are witnesses, and then he says, God is a witness. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when he says, go into all the world, you will be my witnesses to all the world. A witness is somebody who actually visibly saw something and then reported what that person saw. So the implication here is, dads, based upon your experiences in life and all the things that you've gone through, you can testify about certain things you learned along the way. It's wise to do that and then pass that wisdom on to your kids. And so I encouraged you, I comforted you, and I testified to you based on experiences of my own life. There's a Christian song out. Some of you probably heard it, called Dear Younger Me. He basically reflects back on, nowadays advanced in years, he reflects back on when he was younger and says, Dear Younger Me, if I could have shared with you then what I know now, I would have done things very differently in my life. And technically, you and I have the opportunity to do that, not to ourselves, but to our kids. Hopefully you learned some things over the years by your experiences, and you can testify back to your kids things that you learned. Really, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about, isn't it? Solomon learned some things the hard way, and he says to his sons, I don't want you to make the same crazy mistakes I made. And so based upon my experiences, whatever you do, he says, get wisdom. Get wisdom, because as young people, the Proverbs describes us as simple. That doesn't mean we're fools. That means we haven't had enough experience to really learn anything. So we said when we studied that, when your emotions are stirred, your judgment is blurred. That's why you need to have wisdom, so you don't make some of those same mistakes. And so, Dad, you have the opportunity to encourage your kids. You have an opportunity to comfort your kids. You have the opportunity based upon your own life experiences, to say, hey, I learned some things the hard way, and I don't want you to have to learn the same things the hard way. Our grandsons, my daughter and her husband live in just outside Richmond, Virginia. Her friend is a swimming coach. They're 5 and 6 years old. So last year, her friend said, we need some more kids in the program, so she put them in a swimming competition. Last year, she would send videos of them on the phone. The youngest one last year thought he won the race because when he got finished, everybody applauded. They applauded because he didn't drown on the way because it looked like he was going to drown the whole way. I mean, seriously, like, is he going to make it or not? She sent another one just this past week. They've improved a bit since then. But in the background, not only was there a visual, but there was also the audio. And although I could hear her yelling quite loudly, I could also hear their dad doing this, urging. Howard Hendricks taught for many years at Dallas Seminary. Great teacher. Wrote a book called 7 Laws of Teaching. I reread it recently. And then he was asked the question, after 35 years of teaching students in seminary, what is the number one thing that sticks with you? Here's what he said, what he learned. He said, my primary task, and this is young men, 22 to 25, 26 years old, primarily. My primary task is to convincingly tell the student, I believe in you. You are going to make it. He said, the reason is because many of them are shot through with feelings of inferiority, feelings they shouldn't have, but feelings they have because their dad never answered the question. Do I have what it takes? Notice the goal in verse 10. Why does a father encourage, comfort, and urge? He says right here, to live lives worthy of God who calls you in his kingdom and glory. That's why Paul did it with the people he ministered with. That's why the pastors here at Hillside Community Church do it for you. Our goal for you is to live a life worthy of God. That ought to be a father's number one priority for his kids. That's why he encourages, that's why he comforts, that's why he urges, that's why he testifies. Nothing will bring you greater joy and happiness in the long run than seeing your kids with genuine faith serving God. Nothing will bring you greater heartache than seeing your kids far away from God. So dads, you are key in this process of helping your kids live lives worthy of God. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The question is this your goal for your kids? Even in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, before they went into the promised land, God said to Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And impress these laws upon your kids when you rise in the morning, when you go, when you walk along the road, when you lie down at night. Dad's your number one responsibility. Pass genuine faith onto your kids. And if you encourage and comfort and urge your kids, it's going to be that much more effective if you do what he says in verse 10. Verse 10 says, you are witnesses. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you are witnesses. You witnessed us when we were there, and so is God, how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. In other words, Paul said, my lifestyle backed up my words. Dad, if you can do these three things, encourage, comfort, and urge, and live a genuine faith in front of your kids, that's the best formula possible for passing on genuine faith to them. If you say it but don't live it, it's going to make it less effective. Is that your goal for your kids? Now, as positive as the words can be, we also realize that they can be negative and they can kill. There's a verse in Ephesians. It's not in a marriage context, but it's in a general context, so it applies certainly to dads with kids. He says in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only words that will build others up according to their needs. If we just apply that one simple verse, see, it implies the fact that you and I actually have control over what comes out of our mouths, and that we can make a choice to let no unwholesome things come out. None of us are perfect there, obviously. But that what we do come out, let come out, encourages and lifts up those according to their needs. For each one of my grandchildren, I have four, I've picked out a Bible verse, put it on a plaque for in their room. The oldest is 18 now. I know some of you are thinking, I don't look old enough to have a granddaughter that old. You weren't thinking that, were you? But her verse was Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words. Dads, you have the opportunity. So how can we get better at this? Number one, allow God to change your heart. There's a verse here we'll put up with this. Go ahead. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where does what comes out of your mouth come from? It comes from your heart. That's where it comes from. Not your blood-pumping heart. The real you. That's what it comes from. So if that isn't taken care of, that's why stuff comes out of our mouths. It shouldn't come out. Because the heart isn't right. So the number one thing you can do to be better at encouraging your kids and testifying to your kids and accompanying your kids is allow God to change your heart. People being baptized today, baptism isn't making them part of God's family. They've already accepted Christ as part to become part of God's family. Baptism is just a public demonstration of that. You need a new heart. It's real simple. Admit the fact that you're a sinner, believe Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty of your sins, and make a choice to invite Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you get the Holy Spirit, and God begins to change your heart, a redeemed heart, and then a renewed heart, day by day, Romans says, by time in the Word. Allow God to change your heart. Secondly, ask God to help you. There's a verse I encourage each of you to pray every day from Proverbs. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What's in my real mind comes out of my mouth. May be pleasing to you. And thirdly, ask your wife to help you. Wives are willing to speak truth if you allow them to speak truth into your life. My wife's told me on occasions, temperament-wise, I can be pretty harsh at times with kids. And she said, you know, I think maybe you were too harsh. Allow your wife to be that there for you, to help you. Dad, your words are absolutely powerful. I've seen and talked with many men and women who are broken and feel worthless because they never got encouraging words, comforting words, and urging words from their dad. Truth is, your child's self-esteem is greatly dependent upon you. Your daughter's relationship with men is going to depend tremendously on her relationship with you. The perception of God is going to depend tremendously upon your relationship with your kids. That may be like seem like a heavy weight to bear, but it's true. John Eldridge wrote the book I talked about earlier. When he was 44 years old, he got a note from his dad. He said, my dad wasn't a whole lot with words. He had a stroke, so he did it on an old typewriter that he had. Really, the note was summarized with this. I think you're doing a great job. So the man that wrote about what kids need to hear, finally at the age of 43, and his dad was 77, got that confirmation from him. He said, even at 43, I'm still waiting to hear that I basically had what it takes. Dad, Paul said, my goal for you is to live a life worthy of God. My process for that is use my words in your life in a positive way to encourage you, to comfort you, and to testify to you that you too have got what it takes. Daughter, that you are lovely, that God can use you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for being the perfect Father. Thanks for modeling the concepts we're talking about today. Well, I pray for folks in this room whose hearts still hurt because they did not have a dad that affirmed. They did not have a dad who encouraged. I pray you'd help heal those wounds. I pray for those who are in the process now. Help all of us as dads to realize no matter how old we get, no matter how old our kids get, they still need to be encouraged and comforted and urged. So I pray you would do that in the lives of people in this room. We pray you bless the baptism today, trip to Honduras. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.